B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yep.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli, 610-632-0975. In the 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. He also brings our guest for the entire 4 o'clock hour, Mr. Brian Westbrook. What's going on today, Brian?
Good afternoon, Ty, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty well, man, and I hope everything's going well with you. And the word of the day today has been future, because this is something I noticed. Now, you have been on both sides of it, because you obviously played pro sports. Mm-hmm. Now you're a media member. And what I noticed is, I think it's a bit of a flaw. The one thing that we do is, on Sports Talk Radio, obviously we complain a lot, but we react. And we don't sometimes make our own predictions ahead of time. And then what we like to do is tell somebody else that their prediction was wrong. and that's something that we do. So with the four major sports, I'm going to ask you, before we get into a whole bunch of other stuff right at the top, I'm going to put you on the spot with some of these questions and then get your prediction on it. There's nothing wrong. We'll find out in the future. But that way, everybody's on the record. I've been holding people accountable all day long. That way, people don't say, oh, well, Brian said the Eagles were going to do this. And then they come back and say, what happened there, Brian? No. It's easy. I say the only people that are never wrong are people that don't say anything.
Mm-hmm. So,
Ben Simmons did an interview with GQ, came out literally just today, where he talked about his defense and the team chemistry and his aggression, all these things. But one note that I took from it is he believes that this year is the Sixers' year. So I want to ask you right now, Brian, as it sits here on April 16th, how far do you think, if you're going to project into the future, that the Sixers go this season?
Well, before we even get there, I mean, if I'm Ben Simmons, I got to believe that this is the Sixers' year as well, and hopefully to be able to build to the future. When you see LeBron hurt and Anthony Davis hurt, yep, and the combination of all the guys missing games up there in Brooklyn, I mean, I got to believe, especially with Joel having an MVP caliber season and Ben playing better than he has, I would be saying the same thing. I think you would be crazy not to say the same thing. But so I would say the same thing as Ben. But, you know, even with all that being said, if the guys up in Brooklyn get healthy, it's hard for me to imagine that the Sixers can beat them in a 7-game series. And so I don't think that this year is their year. But I do believe next year could be the Sixers' year. I think the second year of Doc Rivers, you potentially add another piece, and now, you know, you get that to work a little bit better with Doc and Ben and Joel and Embiid and hopefully another piece. Now you got a different type of team. To me, next year is the year for the Sixers, not necessarily this year.
And that's fine. And I haven't argued with anybody's prediction. And you also laid out with analysis as to why you thought that. I think that they can get to the finals, partially because you mentioned the health part. And while we focus on Embiid and the issues here, there's a reason that Durant, Kyrie, and Harden have only played 7 games together. And I don't have a full trust now that Harden's down with his hamstring, mm-hmm, partially because he was intentionally out of shape to get up out of Houston. I no longer have faith that I could just assume that all three are going to be healthy this year. And if it happens, then I'm wrong. But I'm starting to believe that it may not get to a point where all three actually do play together.
You know what the buzz in Brooklyn is that, you know, the guys could potentially play, but they are trying to make sure that they're 100% in for the playoffs. And for us, as Sixers fans, we're saying, well, you guys can try to get healthy for the playoffs, but we're going to be rolling by the time the playoffs come. And for you guys in the playoffs, we're talking about the Nets at this point, you guys are going to have to figure out how to play together once again and kind of get the steam rolling on that ship just a little bit more. And so I hope that the Sixers have their way throughout the playoffs. And we never know what happens with the injury to Harden or even Durant coming back, you know, in these few games so far. So, yeah, I got to believe that they're close. But if they're healthy, then I think the Nets are still the better basketball team.
Right, I hear you. And now that's like the appetizer. For the main course, obviously, is we're talking about the Eagles. The draft now, less than 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from yesterday, the NFL draft will start. Right now, the Eagles had the 12th overall pick. Previously, they had the 12th overall pick. We'll see if they trade back up. So, two questions. One, do you think they trade up? What do you think happens in the draft? So, that's projecting short term. And then the next question is, when do you think that the Eagles are next a good team? Because we pretty much agree, and I'm sure you're going to say the same thing, that 2021 is not going to be the year where the Eagles return to the playoffs.
No, 2021 is not going to be the year. And you got a question, depending on the quarterback situation, if 2022 is going to be the year. To me, I think if we were being realistic, 2023 will be the year the Eagles return back to the playoffs, and hopefully you get a couple of good years of quarterbacking, and you allow a team to grow under Nick Sirianni. There's a couple of things that have to happen. First of all, he has to establish a culture. He has to figure out who he's going to be as a head coach. Remember, 39-year-old guy that's never called plays, never been a head coach, especially not on this level. It takes time for you to develop the chemistry. It takes time for you to get the guys to believe in your program, your culture, the character of your team. So that's not an overnight thing, and usually it takes a little bit of success for that to happen. And based upon, you know, what everyone has said, and I kind of believe the same thing, they're not going to have a bunch of success this year for that belief, that faith to build itself. And so it's going to take a couple years. I think 2023 is a fair assumption of when they're going to be able to get back into the playoffs. And when you mention the fact, the question about will they trade up in the draft, and I read something today that they were thinking about trying to trade up to number 7, get back into the top 10. You know, it's interesting, and they, you know, the question is, why would you get out of number 6 if you wanted to trade back up? Well, maybe there was some value there. You pick up another pick, you try to figure things out that way. But you know, if you can get up and get the guy that you want, and here's my philosophy: you're at 12 right now. You're going to have your pick of a cornerback or a wide receiver, and I think at that point you may be able to get the guy that you want. So there may not be a need to trade back up. I mean, you're not trading up. You're not going to get Kyle Pitts. I can tell you that right now. You're not going to get up high enough to get him. So what are you trading up to get? A guy that's a little bit better than the guy that you're going to get at 12? I'm not so sure that that's a good move, especially after trading down and accumulating more picks.
Right. So this is the tough part for me, Brian. Because this is the first time you've been on since the latest report. Now, there's been McManus had some reports, and Jeff McClain has some reports. So now, three different writers on The Athletic for 2 months got a bunch of sources talking about the Eagles situation. And no matter who the reporter was, they say it's very different than when you were at the Eagles with Andy Reid, how things are running that building now. And a lot of it sounds just crazy to me. And I want to ask you about some of those things and how it can affect your possible 2023. So you have a guy now. When Andy Reid was there and when Chip Kelly was there, the person who was in charge of quote-unquote strategy was Andy Reid, and then it was Chip Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
It has shifted slowly during the Doug Peterson regime to the point where now it's a Harvard-educated guy who's tight, who was hired as an intern years ago out of college, who has become tight with Jeff Lurie's son. He is now the, quote, director of strategy, not a football guy in any way, shape, or form. And his word right now overrules any football guy's word, including this the previous head coach who had won a Super Bowl. So you're damn sure he overrules Nick Sirianni, who you mentioned, 39 years old, never called plays. He has no pull. Are you comfortable thinking they can return in 2023 with this particular new wrinkle being coming out?
I think it's tougher. I think you put yourself behind the eight ball, and it is much tougher than if you had a football guy at the helm making the decisions. The reason why the Andy Reid situation worked was because Andy knew exactly the type of players that he needed. He knew the type of players that he had on his team. And then he had to figure out the type of guys he had to go out there and get for his football team. And even bigger than all of that, Andy had the trust of Jeffrey Lurie. He had the trust of Joe Banner. But he also had the trust of the guys in the locker room. He controlled that team. And he allowed some guys, as far as leaders in that locker room, to control things. The problem that we've seen over the last, it seems like 10 years here in Philadelphia, ever since Andy Reid left, was that you bring in Chip, and you give Chip some power, and he kicks Howie to the other side. That obviously is a big issue. And then you get rid of Chip, and ever since then, they haven't had a coach that they believed in fully, which is sad because, again, you won the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just like, I mean, you know, even in some of my businesses, we try to hire the best people and allow them to do their job, allow them to be the person that they want to be. And unfortunately here, it sounds like Jeffrey Lurie, and this, I'm going by all these reports and everything that I mean, I talk to people in the building all the time.
Right.
But It seems like they hired a guy that they didn't have as much faith in, and they thought that they were going to micromanage him into being the guy that they wanted him to be. To me, that's not the way that you want to run a business. It sounds like to me, the way that I would want to run a business is go get the best guy and then allow him to, you know, and of course, you ask him some questions. You want to know what's going on as the owner, but I'm not dictating to that guy who I said is the best in the business what he should do and what he shouldn't do with his football team. That wouldn't be my place as an owner, especially if I'm talking about one of the better coaches in the league. It just wouldn't make sense for me to do that.
And this is my concern. I'm actually, you said 2023, everybody, Connor agreed with you, and we're going to talk about you and Connor in just a little bit because this is the first time where we get to address this situation. I said 2025 and Nat said 2025 because I have trouble believing that the people who have got the Eagles into this situation and will get them out of it because the Eagles seem to not think they're doing anything wrong. I think they think their way is, word of the day, the future. Everyone else is behind. They're smarter than everybody. And even though the Tampa Bay Bucks, who drafted really well and went and got Tom Brady, but drafted really well for a number of years and has a football guy in charge, and Andy Reid, those were the Super Bowl people, obviously a football guy who has definitely modernized and doesn't coach the same way with the hard practices, for example, that he used to do with you guys. He's evolved. But football guy versus football guy was just in the Super Bowl. Yet I think they truly believe that non-football guy analytics is the future, is the way to go. And that's why I have a tough time thinking that I think that they may be putting themselves in a position to be like the Jets, where they'll change different people who don't want to fall in line with their analytics, not just try to find those best people. That's why it's tough for me to have the faith that 2023 they can turn it around, because I think the Eagles think that they didn't do anything or they didn't have any part in them winning these only four games last year. I think they think it was Carson Wentz, and now he's gone, so everything just automatically is going to be fine.
Well, I don't know that that's the case. I don't think that just because Carson is gone, everything is going to be fine. I certainly don't think because Doug is gone, everything is going to be fine. But just go back to the people who have won Super Bowls. Just go back to that. How do they use analytics? They use it as an assistant to making the decisions, not the sole decision maker.
Right.
Tampa Bay, Kansas City, talk about the Patriots. They all use analytics. Don't get me wrong. Everyone uses it. But at some point, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator has to look at a decision that's happened on the field and say, based upon my football experience, not the numbers. I know what the numbers say, and the numbers can be misleading. But based on my football experience with these guys that I have on my team versus the other guys on the other sideline, I got to make a decision. And that's where the analytics, the numbers can lead you in the right direction. And as a fan base, I would hate to see or hear a coach go to that podium after the game or Monday morning to say, well, the analytics said we should do this, and it overrode, it overrided my decision-making, what I normally would have did. I would absolutely hate that, because the reason why we pay you the money that we pay you as a head coach is not just to listen to the blindly to the analytics. We pay you the big money because we want your football mind, we want your football experience. We're paying you because that's what we need. Use the analytics as a crutch, not the guy that's going to carry you to the Super Bowl. To me, that wouldn't make sense, because here's the thing. If you're just going to solely use the analytics, and this is kind of interesting, if you're going to solely use the analytics, you can get anybody to come in as a coach, and then you can control them. Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni, then you can control him.
Yep.
I don't know that that's the way that we want to go to win. So I hope Nick Sirianni isn't that type of guy. But, you know, when we look at it on paper and based upon what we've seen here in the organization as of late, that's the way it's pointing towards.
And that's really my concern. I don't know how it's going to play out. And I've been saying, and this is another thing, Brian, the draft. We know it's less than 2 weeks. You mentioned your thoughts on it already. But here's one thing that I find interesting with football, or actually any sport. So based on the school that you played at and just your pure combine numbers, I remember like last year at some point we looked them up, and your three cone drill was elite, showing that you could change directions, and that showed on the football field. But your other measurables wouldn't say that you would be the best running back in Eagles history, for example, based on the numbers. There have been running backs that have come out of college who the Eagles have drafted who had better, quote, analytics than you. Yep. Yet you were a better football player than those guys. As much as I hate to give you credit, you were better than all of those guys. And had you played longer, you would literally be in the Hall of Fame. Yet your numbers, your analytics would not have said that. So the question I have as they enter the draft is, as they go more and more analytics-based, and I'm not saying the analytics don't have their place. I'm saying how in the third round, because we're talking about the first round pick, second, they haven't done well with the third, fourth, and fifth round picks, especially with skill guys. Yeah. How will they ever find another Brian Westbrook who's out there? There's going to be another third round running back who goes on to do great things. But can the Eagles find them if they don't listen to their football guys? Because I guarantee in that era, football people looked at your tape. Football people spoke to you and said, that guy can help this team. Analytics didn't say that. So how will the Eagles find the next Brian Westbrook if they're not listening to their football people, and the story suggests that the football people are not being listened to?
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'm going to reference the story in The Athletic, but I'm also tell you about a conversation I had earlier this week. This week, I saw, and it was some interview with a guy named Mark Ross. He was the head of scouting at the Eagles when I got drafted. And so he's basically telling his story about me. And he's like, yeah, you know, we saw a guy out of Villanova. You know, he was slow. He ran a 4.6. That was a lie. That was a lie at the combine. I didn't run a 4.6.
I
ran slow.
Did.
I
think you ran a 4.6. We looked it up. Your three cone drill was elite, but I think your 40 was kind of slow, man.
It wasn't a 4.6. It might have been a 4.5 and some change.
I'm going to look it up.
4.6.
I'm looking it up now.
Nat, you better look up the right one now. So get
look, right. I'm all about the facts, B.
But here's the important part. So he said that, you know, we saw his slow 40 time. We saw that he went to a small school. But when you watch the tape, he dominated his competition. The things that he was able to do at that level can translate immediately to the NFL. And Andy Reid, the head coach, saw that he can use me in his offense. And then he went on to the story about when I went to my the workout there in Philadelphia. It was so windy. I mean, they're punting the ball, but I caught everything. Had good hands. AJ Feely was throwing me the football. Things like that. The point I bring that up is because when you read this Athletic article, it's talking about Howie Roseman being in the draft room and basically having his own draft board outside of what the scouts, the guys that have been on the road for, you know, 300 days a year, scouting these guys day in and day out, watching film. And so that's how you find guys in the third and fourth round. Your scouts, your Southeast scouts, your Midwest scouts, your West Coast scouts, those guys are driving around in their car all year long, watching tape, meeting with coaches, and watching film. Howie Roseman's going to practice. I mean, he's doing different things in the office. And how could he have the same level of knowledge as some of these guys that are doing it 24/7? So it's just hard to be able to find those guys and hit on the third, fourth, fifth rounders that are not your common everyday names, household names, because you're not doing that. And especially if you're not even allowing the scouts into the draft room and listening to what they have to say, it's going to be really hard to do that, Ty.
Go ahead.
I'm seeing a 4.57.
Okay. That's rounded to 4.6. That's 4.57. That's rounded to 4.6. But listen, you produced on the field. That number doesn't matter. But here's the funny thing, Brian, and I want you to answer this on the other side of the break, because it relates to the Sixers. It relates to all sports, period. So there's nothing analytical. A caller brought this up earlier as well. People get frustrated with Ben Simmons because of all the things that he can do. They think he should be able to do even more. But we know that sports aren't done on paper. It's just it's a template. Like Joel Embiid does a bunch of stuff that guys his size aren't supposed to do. There would be no computer for the fallbacks at 7 foot, over 7 foot, and his size that he does. So on the other side, you play in locker rooms. And I would also bring up last year's draft, because there was apparently some issues with that between the football guys and the analytics guys with last year's draft. But you played with guys who were really, really talented on paper, and then they didn't produce on the field. So on the other side, if you could think of one during any example during this commercial break, if you want to use a name, if you don't want to use a name, that's fine. This will help highlight the point because you've lived it. Any player out there who you saw at practice what they were able to do, yet they weren't able to produce on the field. That could be Eagles, San Francisco, wherever it was in your life. I'd like to hear, is it okay if you can talk, highlight that a little bit on the other side?
Sounds good.
All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the phones on the other side as well. Update the Twitter poll. And then, Brian, because we've been talking about projected in the future. But Brian's going to help enlighten us on, will probably give us an idea of what the Eagles' future is going to be like, and I have a feeling it might be a little bit bleak. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, 610-632-0975. Word of the day is future. But right now it's time to update our Twitter poll, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
All right, tie over 600 votes on this one so far. Ben Simmons was talking about the future. Do you believe him when he says this can be the year? 77% say yes, 23% say no.
So the people are still optimistic overall.
Yes.
As they face the Clippers, which could be a finals preview. Now, on the line with us, obviously, the entire hour, like he is every Friday, is Brian Westbrook. And Brian, I asked you before the break, because I'm trying to highlight and illustrate the gap sometimes between the football people and the analytics. And I asked before the break if you could give one example of a player, you can either give his name or not give his name, who should have been really good based on paper, but didn't produce. Do you have an example ready?
I do. Listen, there were a couple guys I played with. One of the guys was he was the same draft class as me. A guy named Freddie Millins out of Alabama, wide receiver.
I remember him. Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about one of the better receivers out of Alabama. I remember going to the Senior Bowl and played with him. And the skill set just didn't translate to the NFL. He couldn't find his niche, wasn't quick enough to get off the ball, things like that. And probably the bigger one is a guy that I play with, first-round draft pick. You know, he came to the NFL with a lot of mouth and just couldn't back it up. And because of that, a lot of the guys took advantage of him at practice, right? And so because he was getting beat up at practice by some of the older guys on the defensive side of the ball, you know, our coach starts to lose faith in them and him even at practice. Then when you see him out there on the field, you know, the speed wasn't there, the production wasn't there. And at some point, when your mouth, you know, outproduces the production on the field, at that point, you got to go. And, you know, that there's a lot of stories like that across the NFL. And, you know, it's just unfortunate because when you see a guy in college and you're saying, hey, man, this guy, what he does, his speed, his route running translate directly to the NFL. And when he gets to the NFL, it doesn't. That's a big time problem, especially when they're a first round pick.
Right. Now, that's not to say that scouts are perfect. It's about increasing your odds. That's the whole point of the analytics. Yeah. And what they've tried to do is eliminate, I think, in great deal the scouts, because they think the scouts are quote unquote guessing and the numbers are science. But the problem is, and this has been confirmed now by about 7 different reporters nationally and locally, that the scouts last year in the first round preferred Jefferson. Period. Like, if it was up to the scouts, Jefferson would have been the pick. The analytics and High Rose specifically thought that the, quote, better fit in their system and vertical and blah, 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 even though Jefferson ended up running a faster 40 time, they decided that Rager was the analytics pick. Now, it's only 1 year, and I hope that Rager goes on to have a big career. But 1 year in, when you see the stark difference, forget just the production, just how NFL-ready it looked like Jefferson was versus how NFL-ready Rager wasn't, that has to be, for in one example, advantage scouts over analytics.
Well, I guess you could use that example, but here's the hard part about the Rager and Jefferson comparison is that Rager was hurt. I mean, he was hurt for the most part, no offseason. I know Jefferson didn't have an offseason either, yeah. But I mean, he went to LSU, he went to a much bigger program. I mean, a little bit different there, right? And so, you know, having that offseason, and then you also got to remember, Rager is in a situation where the quarterback had one of his worst seasons of his career. So, I mean, that's a big difference when you're comparing the two. If you had Jefferson here in Philadelphia, would he just had the same type of numbers, 1,400 yards? Absolutely not.
Right, but would he have had more than 300?
Yes, he would have. That's
really the point. I'm not saying that Rager wasn't partially the victim of the Eagles' bad situation. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that with my eyeballs, I believe that Jefferson right now, for 1 year, it doesn't mean for a better career, for 1 year, he was a better football player in a vacuum than Rager was.
I would absolutely agree with you there. In fact, one of my friends is a scout for the Vikings, and so I'm just talking to him just, you know, after the draft, and I'm like, he said, well, why did they pick Rager? He said, in fact, I was in there. They allowed their scouts into their draft room. He said that we were in the draft room, and of course they would have picked right after us. And as soon as you guys called in Rager, everybody in Minnesota's draft room is jumping up
and
down.
There's video of it. There's video of them literally jumping up and down.
Going crazy because they wanted Jefferson. They figured that we were going to pick Jefferson because he was a player at that point with a higher upside. Here's the thing about the draft. Don't try to outsmart yourself. Don't try to outsmart others. Just go out there and pick the right players. And the right players generally are the guys that are productive in college, that your scouts say that their skill set can translate into your program. And remember, there were a lot of people in Philadelphia saying that Jefferson, because he only played in the slot at LSU, couldn't be an outside receiver.
You're right.
That was completely false. And I try to say things against that the entire time. Why would you think that? That's the role that he was playing in LSU. And listen, the skill set has already spoken for itself. But, yeah, the point is, listen to your scouts. Those are the guys that are on the road doing the due diligence all the time. You don't have to try to outsmart yourself to try to make yourself seem like the smarter guy. And there are times here in Philadelphia that it seems like that's exactly what's going on, and it doesn't necessarily need to be that way.
It does not. Now, we're going to go to the phones, and then you have to address something. We've been waiting for you to address it. I've been building the suspense up. So let's go to Steve in Newark. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian Westbrook. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up? I'm talking, I'm looking at what Flyers did last night. They did good.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think Chuck Fletcher didn't do what he needed to do.
And clearly, that's a fact. Like, when you look at the Flyers season, it's not just the coach. They're not good enough player-wise. So, absolutely, that falls on the GM.
The thing is, I was born before the Flyers were incepted. I watched them be incepted. I watched the two cups, and I loved it.
Well, I hear you. So I've been asking that question to people all day. When will the Flyers be good again? Is this a one-year blip and they're back next year, or will it be longer?
When will they be good again? Might be this year might be a one-year blip because of what happened, last year, because everybody had to go to the bubble. And this year they're not playing up to their bubble.
I hear you, and that could be the case. And I think they're going to be back, but I do think that they're going to need. On defense especially, I don't know if it's philosophy. They need players and philosophy. It seems like they're in their own zone entirely too much all season long. Now, Brian, the person currently running the board, producing the show, where I would normally be, Connor Thomas, he had made a bold statement that we have been, and you know it makes me uncomfortable. I've had to defend you. So I'm going to let him in his own words. But don't try to sugarcoat it, Connor. Connor, you're going to say what you said, and then Brian is going to just be able to within FCC rules, respond to you. So Connor, you have the floor.
So way back when I first started here at the Fanatic, about 2 years ago now, I was sitting back in the back hallway with one Pat Egan, who's another one of our producers here, and we were talking, and Brian came in. I got a chance to see Brian for the first time, and I made a backhanded comment that, not back in the day when he played, obviously, because Brian was an All-Pro. He was a great player for the Eagles, incredible athlete. But
did not mention about the sugarcoating.
Currently,
say what you
said. No. This is what I said. Currently, though, at the current time, I think if I got him in a hole, not where he could go around me, because faster than me for sure. If I got him in a hole, I think I could tackle him.
Brian, your response.
Well, let's just called a spade a spade. I mean, I'm not in the same shape that I was, you know, 10 years ago when I was playing football. But as I look in the mirror currently, I probably will run you over, Connor. There's no doubt in my mind that I would see you in a hole and I wouldn't want to shake you. I wouldn't want to make you miss. I would say, oh, there's Connor. That's the guy that I've been looking for. That's the guy that I want to run straight through his chest. I want to put my helmet, face mask through his chest and take him backwards.
See,
yards backwards.
I'm 190.
The goal.
I'm 190. I'm 6 foot tall in dating profiles. So I got a little bit, got a little bit of size.
You know that's 5'9". That's you were probably the same height. You were probably the same height.
But Connor, here's the deal. 190 is cornerback weight. So, I mean, that's not a little size. That's a little size.
A little wiry.
He used to run linebackers over, man.
Yeah, but he's also been tackled by corners before, you know. Sometimes you get your feet tripped up a little bit.
You said in the hole.
Right.
Corners didn't really get him in the hole. They have to get him by the legs.
Yeah. Cut the tackle gap. He's running an outside zone, and he jumps aside.
No. And this was the important part. And you know it made me uncomfortable having to fit, bro. He talked about meeting you in the hole, meaning mano-a-mano, not grabbing the leg on an open field situation where he's looking, Brian's looking upfield. You come from the side and chicken wing him. You talk about meeting this NFL running back who had 1,800 total yards in a year. You're going to meet him in the hole and take him down?
Well, some people call me the Brian Urlacher of radio producers. Some people. I don't know. I don't read the tabloids, but that's what I've been told people say.
Are we having Fan Fest this year?
We are having Fan Fest. We are Absolutely. Having Fan Fest. So we're going to have it. Now, just so you know, Brian, this guy's nuts. Okay? Connor's crazy. He also talked about, now TJ McConnell, what I was trying to say is, when we talk about TJ McConnell not being great, that's relative to an NBA player. He would destroy anybody, any YMCA or any, he's in the NBA and has gotten multiple contracts. Connor, what did you say about TJ McConnell?
I think I could play some pretty good defense on him. I think I could.
Do you hear this?
Got quick feet.
He's 6'3". TJ McConnell, he's a little taller than me.
He's not 6'3".
Yes, he is.
He's listed at like 6 foot.
I'm telling you, I stood next to TJ McConnell courtside. TJ McConnell, I'm 6'2" every day, and he's taller than me.
Well, he had newspaper and his sneakers because it's game time.
Nah. First of all, I think he's listed as 6'2". He's not listed as 6 foot. You're not. He really believes that he can lock up an NBA player in basketball, too.
Well, this is what I know about NBA players. And in my day, listen, when you're young, you think all different types of things. Listen, Connor, you should think that way. But here's the truth. When I was playing, I thought I was a basketball player. So in the offseason, I play against some of these guys. And similar to you, I would see a guy like TJ McConnell that wasn't a star in the league. It was just a guy in the NBA. But I would see him in summer league, right? And so now I'm like, I could definitely beat this guy. And some of those guys, if you go to some of these summer league games, the 11th, 12th guy on the bench, those are the guys that are getting 30, 40 points in summer league game because they still can put up buckets. They can go get buckets. They're not on the NBA level, but take them to summer league against guys like myself or Connor, they'll give you 20 or 30 points easily, very easily.
Man,
that's how good they are.
That does concern me a bit.
Yeah, like did you see what recently happened with that Scalabrine? A guy challenged Scalabrine on social media.
Scalabrine's got the height,
Hold
though.
On.
He's a tall guy.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't post the guy up. Scalabrine showed up. He was shooting jump shots. He didn't miss. NBA players don't miss with your level of defense.
Well, TJ from the mid-range.
Yeah.
From mid-range, but from deep.
You can't cover it. You know what? This is what I'm talking about. All right, 3-minute break. Then more of your phone calls. More conversation with Brian Westbrook. Has been very informative this entire hour. Given an idea of the difference between looking at things from just the purely analytical way as it appears the Eagles have gone versus the actual football guy, sportsman type of way, which I think is preferred with the teams that win. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 3-minute break here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
As the Clips play back here on 97.5, The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson. In for Mike Mussinelli. The phone number 610-632-0975. And we got Brian Westbrook, and Brian always has some interesting things to talk about. Brian, so what do you got today?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it, and I'm saying, you know, if I'm Howie Roseman, he would be my argument. I know the argument against him, I kind of feel the same way about the analytics and him meddling and stuff like that. And, you know, we just want a guy, a football coach, the guy that does it himself. But if I'm Howie Roseman, you know what my comment would be? Yeah, well, when Andy Reid was here, our football guy, he didn't win a Super Bowl. He's been to a bunch of NFC championship games, won Super Bowl. He never won. When Chip Kelly was here, that football guy, guess what? We ain't make the Super Bowl. We never played and never won it. But when I was in control, under the, you know, with Doug and controlling Doug, pushing him the way that I wanted to, and drafting the guys that I wanted because I was in control of the draft, we found a way to win a Super Bowl. So if I'm Howie Roseman, that's my whole thing. I'm like, yeah, I hear everything that you're saying about analytics and me not being a great guy and all these other things that are said in the article. But the truth is, we won a Super Bowl under my tutelage, and the way that I did it was good enough to win a Super Bowl that year. Nobody had a problem with me that year, and I'm trying to rebuild that again. That's probably the conversation that Howie Roseman continues to have with Jeffrey Lurie, the most important person in the building.
And I believe that. But this is the thing that I think has been forgotten, even within that building. And it does not, in my opinion, bode well for the future. Word of the day. A lot of the pickups, the analytic pickups, were free agents, where you were able to project based on performance in the NFL, yep, how they would fit. I think the draft is already a very inexact science at the best of times. When you take away any football acumen from that part, because that's one thing he has done. He's drafted exactly one Pro Bowler, Howie, with these analytics since 2014, and that's Carson Wentz, and he's not even here. So there's zero Howie drafted Pro Bowlers from 2014 forward. That's coming up on this 7 years.
Long
with,
time.
With no Pro Bowlers. Forget Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers. Just guys that can make the Pro Bowl. And that, to me, is the concern, because they don't have any cap space. And I understand we're already fast-forwarding through 1 year, maybe 2 years. I think several more years. But either way, we're going to have to watch now 17 games of possibly bad football. And then the question will be, this time next year, are we talking about how we still don't project anybody to be a Pro Bowler? Because we would think Sanders hypothetically could make it, but he actually, in my opinion, with the pass catching, for sure, took a step back last year. He had big plays. He did have explosive plays. You can't take that. He is capable of that. But what I liked about all running backs, and one of the things we came to like about you, was your consistency. It wasn't just about the big play. It was on second and seven, you're going to get us five sometimes, and then it's third and two. I understand that there's times in second and seven he might break an 80-yarder, but many of those second and seven runs would only be for 1 yard or a negative run, and then later on in the game he got the big run and his yards per carry looks great, but it wasn't consistent quarter one through four. So unless he becomes more consistent, I don't know how he jumps from big play running back to Pro Bowl true, like, every down running back. And I don't think he's quite there yet. Do you think that's unfair?
Well, I think that, you know, we're talking about Miles Sanders and going into his third year.
Right.
We're still talking about a very young man. I mean,
I'm saying up until this point. I'm not saying he won't. I'm saying he hasn't.
No, he hasn't been as consistent as we need him to be. But we also needed him to come in and be the man. And it's not easy in the NFL to come in and be the man. We're talking about a kid that's 23 years old. He'll be 24 until May 1st. I mean, I wasn't until I was 24 that I was able to jump on the scene and be able to produce on the level that I was able to do for a few years in my career. So I think Miles Sanders has some better years ahead of him. He has to understand how to stay healthy. He has to your point, have to understand how to be more consistent in his production. And I think that's something that he's working on in this offseason. And I hope that he has that ability to do that. Here's the other part. he's going to have Jordan Howard back, so he's going to take some of those reps. I still think there's a I like Boston Scott probably more than a lot of other people because I saw guys like Kevin Falk and I saw guys that's coming out of the backfield that can do a lot of different things that I see Boston Scott, same thing with Darren Sproles, has the ability to do. So I just think that he has to find that niche, and hopefully Nick Sirianni finds it with him as well. He's not going to have a bunch of options but besides Sanders. So, yeah, give him the opportunity to control things and see what he can do. I expect these next couple years for him to fall into his own as a player and produce at a high level.
No, and I hope so, too. I'm rooting for him. It was just that some people, especially on social media, have decided that he's arrived.
No, he hasn't arrived yet.
Not yet. I'm saying that let's give it time and let's hope he arrives. The other guy that people projected to take a step back, that kind of took a step back, partially because of health, was Goddard. Yeah, because there were people who were saying that the previous year, he was by all the metrics a top 10 tight end to go with Ertz. Ertz gets hurt, and now Goddard gets hurt, but now Goddard's the guy. And I understand there's quarterback issues, there's other issues, but Goddard also didn't take the step last year, and it's coming up close to time for a contract extension. He also was a guy who you thought maybe could ascend the Pro Bowl level, and last year he also didn't do that.
Well, if this offense wants to be what I hope that they should be, Dallas Goedert's going to have to take a huge step. He's going to have to be a part. He has to be a 6, 7, 8 catch a game type of guy for this football team. And based on when healthy, what he's able to do in some of those mismatches because of his size, he should be able to do that. We haven't seen it consistently enough. Another guy that has struggled with consistency and staying healthy. That's something that he has to get corrected. Again, young kid, he has to figure out a way to do that.
Right, and I'm saying that because these are the best guys that Howie Roseman have drafted.
Yes.
And we're still talking about, hopefully, young guy, we'll see. What would be nice is, and obviously we're going to talk again next week. Yeah, next week you'll talk to Mike next week before the draft. There's still one more time. But I just would hope that we come away from this draft, and we won't know on draft day, but I would like to think that maybe 10 games into the year, he has one or two guys that just jump out to where we can project and say, this guy has arrived versus that guy needs to arrive. It would just be nice because it's been a while for Howie.
Well, when you talk about some of the best teams in the league, they have guys, they have young guys contributing. Look at the guy Devin White down there in Tampa Bay, that
big
linebacker. First round pick, you know, huge plays in the playoffs, huge plays all season long. You have to have guys that can contribute and help you win football games. And we're here in Philadelphia. We're no different. We're going to have some young guys that step in for some of these older guys that left, and they're going to have to contribute on a different level than they've contributed their entire career here in Philadelphia. And if we don't, then we're not talking about 2023 like I mentioned in the playoffs. We're talking about 2024, 2025. They have to get better this season. This is a part of their growth process, working themselves to be that player that we all expect them to be able to be.
Well, it's been a very informative hour, Brian. I appreciate you informing people from a player's perspective on just how the direction you think the Eagles can go. But regardless, they're not going to listen to us about how they do it. Let's just hope that however they get them, they finally get some young players, that a couple that can play right away, and then a couple projects that can help them down the road.
Absolutely, man. Sounds good. You're doing a great job, Ty.
Appreciate it, Brian. And that was Brian Westbrook with us the entire hour. He was brought to you by Landis Block. Get a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour, we're going to run the phones. Word of the day is future. I want your predictions going forward. Ben Simmons says this is the year. Is it the Sixers' year? They play the Clippers tonight. A possible finals preview tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. The Eagles went the draft. When are they going to be good? The Phillies, the Flyers. And, of course, we'll get back to some of the walk-up songs. Maybe we'll play ours once again in the 5 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6. In for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.